know, it's at these times when young adult, or young adult, young children's camp and teenage camp where many kids really feel that call upon their life. They're very open and sensitive to what the Lord is speaking to them. You can sponsor a full kid, a half a kid, or a quarter of a kid. Isn't that nice? You know, I want to encourage you, get involved and sponsor a kid to go to camp, because one of the things that disqualify them usually is because they don't have the money for it. So consider that. And then lastly in here, we're going to have an outline to follow along with this morning. We're going to be jumping into a series, but before we get to that, we want to take some time to just celebrate with the family. I'm going to ask Michelle, will you and your family please feel free to come forward? We're going to just celebrate as a family a baby dedication that's to take place. And anyone that you would like to invite to come on up here, feel free to come on up here. Grandmas, grandpas, uncles, aunts, neighbors, barbers, you name it. As we come to this time to celebrate with you as a family, what a joy it is. What a cutie. He's staring at me. Wants to know what I'm about to do. But we come with them as a family and stand with them as they want to dedicate their baby, Lon Nicole Newsom. And there you go. She's smiling now. She likes her name. Campy. And we want to celebrate with you as a family. Michelle, I just want to ask if there's anything you would like to say at this time. I'm putting you on the spot right now.
I haven't always done the right things in my life, but I'm trying to be a better person with his help. And Yvonne is a perfect example of him taking a mistake in my life and making a blessing.
Now you've got another son and daughter that are going to be standing there in the gap with as well. Anything you guys want to say? Come here and say anything. Well, what we do is, do you think she'll come to me just fine?
Yeah.
Oh, come here. Go over here. We got a camera just for you. I'll stand still so you can zoom in, Chris. Come over there. You know, the Bible, the reason we do the baby dedications the way we do them is because in the Bible, Samuel was dedicated unto the Lord. His mother Hannah said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, I will take him and I will dedicate him back unto you. And we are following that example, and you've heard this story before many times, but we just celebrate with them as a family. You know, in this world, we don't always make the perfect choices, we don't always make the perfect parents, we don't always make the perfect spouses, but we do serve a perfect God. And it's Him that we call upon, and we ask, and I want to pray for you as a family, that the Lord would just bless you at this time. Just see this red microphone. You like that, don't you? And I just want to ask, that is, we dedicate her. The challenge to you is going to be to raise her in the eyes of Jesus. She will be Jesus unto her until the day that she comes of that age where she makes her own choices and decisions. And church family, do you accept that challenge to help them as a family be able to stand in that gap? Amen. Will you just extend your hand as we pray for them? Father, I just want to ask that in the name of Jesus, that by your Holy Spirit,
led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of a rock of flint. And in the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, to do good for in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Those are some powerful words. Now, sometimes we can say, yeah, Pastor, but that's Old Testament. I mean, come on. Does the Old Testament really count? I don't know. We got the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. What do you think? You know, it's still relevant. But however, some things have changed. There are some differences. But some things that never change are those things that God commands of us. And as we just read here, that he says that you shall put the Lord your God as number one, the highest priority. And if you ever misprioritize, don't be surprised when life starts to get bumpy. Have you ever had, like, you've gone through a season of time and life's been difficult, it's rough, it's kind of bumpy, and you realize you have not paid attention to maybe feeding yourself spiritually? You haven't spent time with God. You haven't gone to church. Whatever it is, and you realize, man, I haven't prioritized my relationship with God very high. And then all of a sudden, you kind of reprioritize that, and it seems as if things got better. What's really happening on the inside is when you make God the highest priority, there is a feeding of yourself spiritually that takes place. So this morning, as we start off into this journey of no other gods, I want to take the next 4 weeks and kind of go over a few things to challenge our hearts about some areas where maybe we've misprioritized. You know, some of us may say, well, I don't believe in God, so therefore I don't have to give an opinion or prioritize anything. But the reality is that we all worship something or someone. We all have things that we call number one. A scary thing to me would be not to prioritize God at all in my life, but one thing that would be scarier is to say that I love God, big G God, okay? There's big G's and there's little G's. You know, did you know that? Okay, big G is God Almighty. Little G is anything else that you try to substitute for that. You know, a scary thing to me would be to say that I love God, big G God, I serve him, but prioritize anything else above him. Sometimes we can get caught up in the busyness of life that we say we love God, we want to serve God with all our hearts, and God says, then I want you to do this. Well, I'll get to that in a minute because I've got to take care of this. And we start misprioritizing instead of simply obeying the voice of God. And God's bringing us to a place where maybe we've gone kind of askew and we've misprioritized and put things above him. Because, you know, God can love us and does love us, but in return, sometimes it can become very easy to give him lip service. You know what I mean? We tell him we love him. We tell him we're going to get to that. I'll do my devotions. I'm gonna read my Bible as soon as I get some time. And as soon as my schedule frees up, I'm going to get involved in more. But it's not about that. It's about having the heart right first, getting those priorities set. Because it can be easy to fall into misprioritizing. You know, we prioritize all the time. Did you know that? We don't have problems doing it when we go into a store. I go shopping with my wife and probably any other lady in here. When you go shopping, when you get in that store, yes, you may want to check out the whole store, but you've thought out a plan of how you're going to hit this store, haven't you? Yeah. You know, I'm going to hit the shoe department. And then once I'm done with the shoe department, I can make a right over into the ladies section and we'll check out some clothes there. And right after that's the kids section. And then after that, I'll go back to shoes. Men do the same thing, but just a little bit differently. They prioritize, but they want to figure out what it is they're going to conquer. They've got their list. As a matter of fact, they've prioritized before they've probably ever left the house if they're going to a store. They know, I need to get a pair of shoes, and we need to get some laundry detergent. I know what aisle they're in, and I know the quickest route, so I'm going to go this path, I'm going to pay the money, and I'm going to get out. They've prioritized. We do it all the time. But many times, we fail to prioritize what's the most important when it comes to a relationship with God. You know, in the absence of an ongoing, tenacious, proactive appetite to be spiritually fed, we can fall prey to misprioritizing. And without disciplining ourselves for godliness, like Timothy tells us to do in the Bible, what we'll do is we'll open ourselves up to compromising the very promises of God. These promises that we talked about, that when you ask God a question, he gives you a promise. We can sometimes misprioritize those very promises. And when we do that, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not like you wake up one morning and decide that you're going to misprioritize things in life. It happens gradually over a period of time. We start to compromise a little bit here and a little bit there until we wonder, where did God go? Why don't I feel the presence of God anymore? But his word declares to us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word declares that his word will never pass away. It always stands true. So when you feel that there may be a distance between you and God, maybe it's not because God moved anywhere. Maybe it's because you and I did. Maybe it's because we've misprioritized. Maybe it's because we need to adjust something. What in the world, and in this culture, what they're telling us is this: be your own God. Have you ever noticed that? Just watch TV for a little while. They're telling you to be your own God. You don't need anybody else. I was watching TV the other day. I don't remember the program. We were just flipping through. And they were talking about a relationship. And they said, well, what's the problem in taking this relationship to the next level? Do you like her? Uh-huh. Do you like him? Uh-huh. Well, then what's the problem? Take it to the next level. Be your own God. That's what they were saying. Meet your own passions. Don't worry about anything else. Do what you want to do. After all, it's your life. Live it the way that you want to live it. The world is saturating that in the music, and it's saturating it on even billboards as you drive down the street. I mean, who in the world, when they look at a Snap-on calendar, is really looking at the toolbox? Have you ever noticed they plaster it with girls? Why? Because they're trying to get you to misprioritize. The world is attempting this, and God is saying, I need to bring this back into alignment so that we can have our priorities set straight. Pastor shared last week with us, or 2 weeks ago, a paper about some statistics. Did you get a chance to read over that at all? It talked about how you can be your own Yoda and people and what they're thinking. It said this. It said, 71% of U.S. adults develop their own set of religious beliefs rather than accepting the teachings of a particular church. 71% are deciding to be their own God. According to Barna Research, more people now serve as their own theologian. They think that they know better. They think that they've got it figured out. I know the word of God is true, but it just needed my little extra touch. It doesn't need our extra touch. It needs all of our obedience. Yet here we find it says 18 to 25-year-olds in that paper, it said 64% say that they cussed in public within the last week. 38% within the last week have had an illicit sexual relationship. The world calls it hooking up, friendship with benefits. 37% of those same people have lied within the last week. 26% said that they've gossiped. 12% said that they have retaliated. Yet they know better, and they say that they should be their own God. I would say that we've got our priorities a little bit wrong, wouldn't you? How can we live in this world and make sure that we're prioritizing correctly? And what are some areas that we need to make sure that we're putting God first? Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four gods that can easily find ourselves falling prey to. And they're familiar tools that the enemy uses to attempt to trip us up. This week, I want to talk to you about the God that glitters, about those things that cause us to stray. Next week will be the God that allures, then the God that steals identities, and then the God that's never satisfied. Do you remember when Leslie Kegel visited us? How many of you remember that? Maybe it wasn't his last visit, but the visit before. He had spoke a word over us in our community and said there's three spirits that prevail, and they're very predominant. And he said that you're going to see that in the area of greed, lust, and suicide. And I thought, wow, I mean, you just think about it. Now you can go and say, well, I can find that anywhere. Yes, you can, but sometimes there's just a sense of knowing that something just rises to the surface a little bit bigger and stronger. In this community, greed, lust, and suicide. And we've had many, many battles and struggles. You just watched the news in the past few years about the depression that's taken place, suicides that have happened, and it isn't long to see that this kind of comes to the surface. And I want to talk specifically this morning about focusing on that area of greed and dealing with that issue, because when we talk about the God that glitters, yes, we're going to talk some about money, but it's not just about money that glitters. It's not just about how we handle money, though we will talk about it. You'll find that the things that glitter are the things that we put value on. Correct? Would you say that? I mean, I don't know about you, but those I don't put glitter on a piece of garbage and call it pretty. We find something that we think glitters, it's valuable, and we say, that is it, that's what I want. I've got to have that house. I've got to have that car. I've got to have that spouse, whatever it is. The God that glitters is that which we put value upon. And then we say that we've got to go after that. And what happens is the enemy uses those gods that glitter to cause us to misprioritize. And all of a sudden, though we love God, it's not a question about our love for God. It's not a question about wanting to have more of God in our life. It's a question about making sure that we are not compromising in any area and making sure that we are not being duped by the enemy when he tries to tempt us with the gods that glitter. And says, you know what? Church is important, but you need that job that's going to take all of your Sundays and take you away from your family so you can buy that house and that boat and that car and that motorcycle. That's a God that glitters, that tries to get you to misprioritize. It can happen in so many of the easier ways as well. But we have such a need to feel so important. We get such a need to feel so important. It's like this young businessman who had his own practice. It was his first day, and he wanted to impress all the people around him. So he's sitting in his office. He's just getting things set up, and he's there at his desk. And again, wanting to feel so important, somebody walks in his office. It's the first person. So he wanted to give that, you know, good impression. He picks up the phone and he said, yes, he said, and make sure it's on my desk in a half an hour because I'm going to be late for that meeting. So you make sure to get it done, okay? All right. Hangs up the phone, looks at the person and says, how may I help you? And he says, well, I'm from the phone company. I'm just here to turn your phones on. And too many times, we try to impress. We try to look important. We try to have things that glitter because if these things glitter, then we don't have to pay attention to that which is not. If we have all the toys and if we have all the stuff and if we have all the fun and if we have all the things that make people go, ooh, I want that. Maybe, just maybe, they'll miss that void in my heart and won't see how empty and lonely and depressed I am. Maybe they won't see how much it hurts on the inside. Maybe I won't have to feel that way anymore. And sometimes we look for the distractions of those gods that glitter, but for all the wrong reasons. You see, when you try to do things that proclaim yourself as self-important, God has a way of removing that veil and showing us what we're really like because it's in all of us all the time. God is going to deal with that and then he's going to correct it. And the Bible says that we must choose which way we're going to go. What role, for example, is money going to play in your life? Is it going to be an end to itself or is it going to be a means to an end? And I want to talk about something that dupes us from one of the greatest treasures of all. The Bible says it's that which the whole Word of God hangs upon. And it's something called relationships. A relationship with God and a relationship with one another. How easy it is to be duped by a golden calf and run after fool's gold. Too many times we're chasing after the wrong thing. And we want everything, but we get duped by the enemy and it leaves us with a void in our hearts. In America, we're such a nation of debt. Did you know that every day 4,000 bankruptcies are filed? Not only that, but we are a nation of $5 trillion in consumer debt. And you say, well, how much is a trillion dollars besides saying, you know, it's a lot? If you took a stack of dollars and you started counting them at one after the other, $1, $2, $3, if you decided to go ahead and do that and you kept doing that 24 hours, 7 days a week, it would take you 11 and a half days before you counted a pile of $1 million. That's how long that would take. For $1 billion, it would take you 31 years. 31 years, just to count that. For $1 trillion, it would take you 32,000 years if you did the math. And we are a nation, 5.7 trillion, in debt. Does that tell you the appetite of the people of America? There's things that we have misprioritized and said, we've got to have it, and we've got to have it now. And it starts to creep into our very own lives, our homes, and our hearts. I've had the opportunity to go to a couple different countries. And one of the things I've noticed, and it's kind of made me scratch my head, is I visited these different countries who have less than America has, yet they seem to have more joy than I've seen in America. I don't get it. I would just look around and I think this doesn't make sense. We went to Juarez, Mexico for a couple years and we spent time there. And here's some dirty little kids and clothes, some of them not even clothed, running around naked. And the clothes, maybe they're only set, maybe they have one more. And they're dirtier than dirtier can be. They're hungry, and they stink a little bit because maybe they haven't taken a shower in a while, but they are the happiest kids I've ever seen. And we show up to bless them, all showered and bathed with our Ocean Pacific shirts on and our new shorts from Kohl's. And I got my new sandals on for this, especially for this missions trip. And we're going to impress them? I don't think so. And I remember going over to Ecuador and seeing some kids over there, and they started running around and playing. They didn't have much. They had hardly anything at all. But yet they had something in both places that I saw was missing here, and there was just a deep seed of joy within their hearts simply because they had prioritized properly. They knew that God was God, whether it was in America, whether it was in Juarez, or it was in Ecuador, or wherever it was. And they decided that the most valuable thing was going to be that relationship with Him. And that's what filled their heart and filled them with joy. You know, out of every two marriages, one is ending in divorce, is the way our statistics are going. A recent study showed that 40% of the kids in America are growing up in single-family homes. We're going after gods that glitter, and we're leaving behind the greatest treasures of all, relationships. So what are we going to do? Luke 16, and I believe this is in your outlines, it says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all the things, and they were scoffing at him. You know, we can be religious but still be lovers of money, where we use God as a means to get what we want. The accumulation of possessions and wealth is not a wealthy enough goal for the investment, though, of your whole life. There's much greater riches than that. But you see, the God that glitters will dupe you and trick you with their rules and that deception and say, that's the greatest treasure of all. You've got to have these things. You've got to have this car. You've got to have this job. You've got to have this position. And it will do everything it can to get you away from the greatest treasure of all, which is relationships. Our landscape is littered with greatest treasures of all the people that have been left behind. Our relationships. The Bible says the greatest relationship of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then the second one is to what? Love your neighbor. That's what it sounded like. I'm sorry. It was just funny. But you're right. Love your neighbor as... Okay, there we go. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the greatest thing that you can do. Love him, love others. It starts with him, and it bleeds out into relationships. That's where it's all at. That's what it's all about. That's the whole Bible. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to take that away because he knows that God's goal is eternal relationships with you and me. So what's he going to do? He's going to send some gods that glitter and try to distract. Some of us can be caught up in relationships and say, but Pastor, you don't understand. We have to live together. Oh, really? Tell me your thinking on this. And people start to explain that to me, and I'm always baffled at how we've misprioritized. And we've talked ourselves into why we should do what we do. Am I throwing stones at people that do that? No. I'm saying we just need to find a place, a common ground where we meet and find truth, the Word of God in the midst of it. How important is that going to be in your relationship, God? Notice the key was relationship. It always comes back to that. The whole Bible's full of this, and the enemy wants to do what he can to steal that away because we can become lovers of money, and it just robs us of all that we have. We start thinking that's what it's all about. Have you noticed in our society today, it seems like money is kind of the cure for everything. It's like if you do something wrong, just pay for it. It's like a man was out playing golf, and he got hit in the head by a golf ball. Bam, and it hit him in the head. And the guy said, oh, I'm so sorry, mister. I didn't mean for that to happen. He said, yeah, I'm a lawyer, and I'm going to sue you. I'm suing you for like $5,000. He said, wait a minute. He said, I yelled four, and the guy said, okay, I'll take $4,000. He brought it all back to money. In our world and in our society, we seem to think that money is the answer to everything. It comes down to money. We can say, well, you screwed up and you made this mistake and I'm going to sue you and it's all about money. And we can get caught up in that. You can say, you ruined my kid's life and therefore I'm going to make you pay. And we start getting these attitudes. Now, that leads to another question. Well, are you saying don't sue anybody or we should? I'm not saying any of that. I'm not going there today. What I'm talking about is the motive in the heart behind why we do what we do. Too many times, we do things because we see things that glitter. We see opportunities. And we misprioritize and choose what we want to do, hoping that it will ultimately benefit us. God is saying, we have to make a choice. We have to understand money is something we are to steward and to use. And we have to choose between the two. Otherwise, we end up like the man in this story. All that he ever wanted in life was more. He wanted more money. So he parlayed in his inherited wealth into $1 billion and piled up his assets, and he wanted more fame. So he broke into the Hollywood scene. And soon he became a filmmaker and a star. He wanted more thrill, so he designed and built and piloted the fastest aircraft in the world. All he ever wanted was more. He was absolutely convinced that more would bring him true satisfaction. You ever think that too? More will bring me more satisfaction. Unfortunately, history shows otherwise. He concluded his life emaciated, colorless, with a sunken chest, grotesque fingernails that were inches long and looked like corkscrews, rotting teeth, tumors, innumerable needle marks from his drug addiction. Howard Hughes died believing the myth of more. He died a billionaire junkie, insane by all reasonable standards. This guy had it all. He had everything that glittered, and all he ever wanted was more. And we see the path that it led him down. He had much to live on, but he had nothing to live for. That's the bottom line of the God that glitters. Howard Hughes followed the God that glitter. He said it this way best. All that is gold does not always glitter. All that is gold does not always glitter. And God reminds us to never take relationships and make them secondary to the golden calf. So let me tell you a couple roles that money will play. And you'll see this in your outline. I'll go through these quickly. A couple roles that money's going to play is either lure or cure. It's going to do one of the two. In the fourth chapter of Luke, Jesus was led to the wilderness and he was taken to the top of the mountain. Then he was shown all the treasures of the world. And it glittered in the night lights, and the devil said something interesting. Luke chapter 4. The devil led him to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone that I wish. I can give it to anyone I wish. He's saying, I'll give you control and the image of splendor and power. I'll make you look good. I'll give you the authority and let you have control. This God of glitter is not always a God of money. Power, image, prestige, unaccountability can also lure you away from that which is the most valuable. It may be your own expectation of what's come to pass, and regardless of anybody else, you want yours. You can be unaccountable because you've got money. Money often lures because you don't have to be accountable anymore. You don't have to ask anything. You can just do what you want to do, and it'll start to lure you away. The scary thing is once that happens and there's no accountability, you become easy pickings for the enemy. And that's exactly what he wants. He wants to get you kind of away from the pack so that he can pick you off. The other thing that, another role that way money can play is in leaving a legacy. In leaving a legacy. You know, I've often seen when money is stewarded well and controlled the way that the king wants it to be controlled, then he opens the windows a little bit more. You love God and you don't hold on to money, but hold on to God. You got to get that priority straight. Sometimes you can get it backwards. And God says, I've given you this money so that you can learn what it means to steward it well. To those who steward well with the little I give, I'll give more. But ultimately, the goal is to leave a legacy. To leave a legacy. There was a man named Alfred Nobel who had to make that choice. We all know his name. It's synonymous with the Nobel Peace Prize. But what you might not know is that he also was the inventor of dynamite. One day, just after his brother had passed away, he looked through the obituaries for his brother's name, and sure enough, there it was. But by mistake, they put his name in instead of his brother's. They thought he died. And this is what the newspaper journalist had written, thinking it was Alfred Nobel who had died. Alfred Nobel died. He was a man who made millions by inventing dynamite, which kills people in mass numbers through wars. He read this and said, I don't want to be known and remembered as a person who used money to destroy people. It was then that he made a choice to change the role of money and established an endowment for the advancement of peace, medical advancement, and literature. He called it the Nobel Peace Prize. Could you imagine waking up one day and the mistake was made and they thought that you died and you read your own obituary? What would it say? What would it say of you, of how you steward and handled things? What would it say of how you dealt with relationships? Would it say that you lived for yourself or that you lived for God and for others? This man had this opportunity and saw that he did not like what he saw and decided to rewrite that and change that. Today we have the Nobel Peace Prize. And you've got to choose what role money is going to play. And so we need to bring that into focus today. And how are we going to do that? Number one is this in your outlines. Make sure that you establish your eternal calling. I'll explain what I mean by that. What is your eternal calling? What is your assignment? Is it to amass more and more and more? Is it to build bigger barns? Is it, what's your primary calling? Is it to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? You know, it'll come out in your actions and in the way that you live life and in the way that you relate one to another. God is calling us to establish our eternal calling. That, what's our primary calling? It's to radiate the glory of God. And then God gives you the funds to meet those means which will carry out that ministry or that calling that he has within your life. But we have to establish, what is that eternal calling? Mark 8:36 says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" For one who doesn't know Christ, it might be defined as, what good is it to amass a huge bankroll when there's no end? Because you'll lose eternity. Too many times we misprioritize and we think, what good is it going to be if we make all the money, we get all the jobs, we have all the toys, but in the end, we've missed God's great call in our lives? What is your eternal calling? Some of us forget that we've been called first and foremost to be that husband, to be that father to our children. And we thought, no, it's to be the CEO of this bank. I've got to do this. This is my number one priority. And we get things backwards. And what God is bringing us to is a place where we can focus our attention to fulfill it. That's very important. Focus is needed. It's desired, wouldn't you say? I mean, when you're conversing with your friend or your spouse, don't you like their focus? Don't you want them to pay attention to you? Don't you want them to know that when you talk to them, they're listening? And we have to do the same thing. We have to focus our attentions on that which God has called us to do in order to fulfill it. Don't get distracted. Too many distractions in this world. Philippians 3 says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to that which is ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." He says, focus your attentions towards the goal. What is your goal? What is your eternal calling? What do you feel that God is calling you to do right now that has an eternal difference? Not just about completing a financial transaction, not just about getting this house, not just about making this purchase. What is it that your eternal calling that God is calling you to do? Maybe it's to be that dad who's spending time and making sure to invest in his children. Maybe it's being that mother who is there to be able to example, to train, and to pour into their lives. Maybe it's to be discipling and mentoring a young person that you know needs to just develop a little bit more. Whatever it may be, what's your eternal calling? You have to focus on that and spend time with that. I remember when my kids were younger, one of the things I remember hearing the Lord say was this: keep your relationship good with them. Keep your relationship good with them. Now, what parent hasn't thought that of their kids? But I specifically thought, keep your relationship good with them. And I thought, well, of course I would, but Lord, there's so much I've got to do. I'm running here, I'm running there. I'm trying to make sure that I can be the best pastor I possibly can be. I got to make sure to read this. I got to make sure to be here for that. I got to make time for everybody else. And I just simply remember the Lord saying, just make sure that you do what I've told you to do. Keep your relationship good with them. And I would think, but Lord, I've got so much to do. And it's almost like the Lord said, I just told you what was most important. I just told you, keep your relationship good with them. I was to focus my attention on them. Now, I'm not saying that I was to make them the all in all. I mean, you have other priorities you have to do too. But when God says, make time, and this is what's most invaluable, he was saying, relationship. That's what's most important. I remember scheduling in, even when my kids were very young, to take them on dates. Now, they're 13 and 10, so to say dad's going to take you on a date is kind of a weird thing, you know? If I tell my daughter, hey, you want to go on a date? She'd be like, Dad, shh, don't embarrass me. But when she was 5 and I'd say, you want to go on a date with Dad? She'd, yes, and she was excited. And I mean, it didn't take anything to please her, just some golden arches. We call them McDonald's. you want to go on a date with Dad to McDonald's? Oh, I'd love to. And she gets so excited and she would look forward to that. And so we call them Daddy Drea dates. Just kind of, you know, would flow very well. And then my son, we go on dates too. We call them Daddy Mijo dates. Now I'm stealing this from my wife. Mijo is the Spanish word for son, and so we call him Daddy Mijo dates. And I say, you ready? Want to go on a date? Want to go spend some time together? Yes, and so we would do anything from just going to McDonald's, or as they got older, we'd go get a Lumber Kings game, or we would go to the movies, and we would eat popcorn till we were sick to our stomach and watch a movie, and we would just have a great time building relationship with one another. They looked forward to these times. You know, it's such an important treasure because you can almost miss it. And I almost did. I thought, oh, that's what it was all about. It wasn't about the popcorn or the golden arches or me needing to do this or to be there. It was about making sure that I had a slice of time where I made sure that I prioritized what's most important, relationships. And to this day, we still go on dates. I don't call them dates anymore because then they wouldn't go on them with me. But they love to spend time with Dad. Make sure that you're investing wisely in those that are around you. It's such an important treasure, and kids will let you know what the treasures are. They'll continue to tell you. That's why when you break those appointments, it can just really bring wounds into their hearts, because to them, they're saying that this is a treasure, and they look forward to those times. Let me go a step further and say, maybe with your spouse. If you're married, plan a date every week, every month, whatever it takes. Do what you can to make sure that that's a high priority. Just plan a certain day. It doesn't have to be a whole day. Just a date, a dinner, some time together. A time where you know this is our time. We can go out and we can just be together. Why? Because relationships are that important. And the God that glitters is going to do everything it can to steal what your eternal call is. And that eternal call is about relationships. What good is it for you to profit being CEO of anything if you lost your wife and you've lost your kids? What good is that going to do? What good is it going to be being CEO of any foundation if you've lost your integrity or your good moral standing? You see, we have to make sure that we have prioritized properly. We have to establish the role that money will play. Number two is this, and I'm jumping forward for the sake of time. Make sure that you use money and love people. In a world that has a God that glitters, we sometimes get that backwards. We use people and we love money. We have to make sure that we have prioritized in such a way that we know we are have the priorities set right. Psalms 40, verse 4 says, "Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore the world, what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to." I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly I run out of words. And neither numbers nor words account for you. You see, when we talk about the God that glitters, I think of a man named Tim Tebow. Do you know who he is? Tim Tebow, quarterback. And he played when we got to know him well, was for the Florida Gators when he was in college. He had an opportunity to go after the gods that glitter. I'm sure he still does. We all do, actually. The opportunities are always out there. But because he was entrusted with the little, God used that and blessed it in such a way that all of a sudden it caught national attention. And the media was in on it. Do you know, he always has painted under his eyes. Do you know what it is? Go ahead. John 3:16. He always puts it on there. And it caught the attention of media, more specifically ESPN, to the fact that, and this was an amazing thing, just kind of a weird thing to see, but he's now playing for the Denver Broncos. He was playing the Pittsburgh Steelers at this time. And it says, the fact that Tebow had 316 yards this passing season, and he averaged 31.6 yards per pass, in a game that didn't escape notice on Sunday night, Tebow wore John 3:16 on his eyes, black since the 2009 BCS championship game, and he's since become identified with the famous Bible message that has caused millions of fans to perform Google searches on John 3:16. Not only that, but here it is on ESPN Sports Center, four men analyzing sports, quoting John 3:16. Now, that just blew my mind, and I thought, how amazing is that? It's just, what amazes me more is this. Here's a man who is trusted with a little, and he's been given a time such as this. But what amazes me more is how God's word is so, I mean, it always fulfills itself. Who would have ever thunk on ESPN, four men are going to be quoting John 3:16? But because he was trusted with the little he had, he learned, Tim Tebow, what it meant to use the money he had, but love people in the process. Don't get it backwards, or it's going to bring destruction into your lives. And then lastly is this. If we're going to get this into focus and about the God that glitters, make sure you invest your life in what God calls wealth. Make sure you invest your life in what God calls wealth. The story is told of a man who was making so much that it became an end to itself, and he said, one day, I'm going to build bigger barns. No, I don't need relationship with God or with others. I just need bigger barns to hold what I have. And God spoke to him one day because he didn't know God was going to pull his number. Luke chapter 12, God said to him, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. It's important to make sure you steward what you have. It's important to make sure that you steward well, so it speaks well of the testimony of the God that you serve. But the moment that you let money, position, power, prestige become the God that glitters in your life, you're going to end up in a place where you're going to realize, just as we read, so is the man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. It's all about relationship. God is calling us to a place where we need to learn what it means to not just use people, use money, love people, but to decide what your eternal calling is. And over these next few weeks, my desire and my hope is this, that we can learn together to prioritize quickly what is most important and to see those areas where maybe we have to make some adjustments. Here's my prayer, that we don't sell out or sell ourselves short, that we don't compromise that which God has called truth, and that we prioritize according to His Word and not according to the flesh, lest we fall into some temptation that will cause us to misprioritize. Amen. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank You that You're a God that loves us. Lord, I thank You that You're a God that brings us to a place where You desire nothing more than to allow us to see that it's all about relationships. Lord, I pray today that those under the sound of my voice, hey Lord, Your Holy Spirit would have gone forth and touched our hearts. Lord, may we become a people that learn what it means to steward what we have and steward it well, but in the process make sure that we've made relationships priority number one. Lord, may we not fall into the traps that the world and the enemy has set up so that we get caught in debt, we get caught in financial disarray, we get caught in broken relationships, but Lord, that we can be a people that have learned to prioritize You as number one, and in so doing, we know that we have an ear that's going to hear Your voice. Lord, I pray that You bring that understanding to us. Are you here today? And maybe you need to realign, reprioritize those areas in your life. Maybe you're here today and you need to make that decision today to say, God, I have not had You as number one in my life, and today I need to make that right. I need to reprioritize. If you're here today, I'm simply going to ask you to do this, that you just raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you. If you're here today, simply say, that's me. I need to reprioritize those areas in my life. Just simply raise your hand. I see your hand, sister. God sees your hand in your heart. And know that as you go today, God will fill you with the wisdom that you need. Is there any other hearts here today? Can I have the ushers come forward that are going to help serve communion, and Pastor, if you come and help? Thank you.
come to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They got the gold. They got the gold that'll endure, that's refined by the fire of the Spirit of God. They got something that will last for eternity. And listen, there's a lot of poverty, as Pastor Jim talked about, in so many parts of the world. They pray for us because of our broken relationships. Though they don't have a lot, they understand they need God and they need one another. And dear Lord, help us to be healed in our heart and to get over the little things that cause us to stumble and to get on with what we're called to be as the body of Christ. Amen? And I think that's so important that we pass that and share that in our family and then let that grow by grace to reach out to everybody to know the power and the love of our Lord. So as we partake today, may we know the power of the blood of Christ that we partake of here and what it can do in us and through us. And dear church, I want to encourage you, don't be silent about what Jesus has done. He was not silent, and though he was suffering, he was not silent to cry out forgiveness for every one of us and cleanse him. But he wants us to know that he wants us to speak and share. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So Lord, we come and we take this cup today. And I pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, touch upon every life here. And God, I pray that you will help us in all the things that we face to know that you care about them. And God, that you love us and help us. But beyond that, there's a greater issue. Because, Lord, no matter how many hurts we have, we're not alone. We have you. We have the power of your Spirit. And God, may we be mindful there's so many that need to know that love. And God, I pray that we can be that conduit through which the coming of Christ can come to their hearts and lives so they can connect and know your great love. We pray and we ask and believe in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for this cup. Lord, we partake of it with thanksgiving in our hearts. May we drink together. Remember, tonight is praise and worship, a time to just come and exalt the Lord. And would you stand with me as we prepare to dismiss? I hope all of you can be here tonight. And I want to tell you, I really enjoy listening to my son because I hear the Spirit of the Lord speak and what the Lord is doing in his heart. And I'm just thankful. Someone said at our convention, they said if there's any PKs here, any preacher's kids, and they want to go into the ministry, God's really done a marvelous work. Because sometimes you struggle through all of that, but I'm so thankful because, see, so many of our young people today are not interested in going into ministry. And I'm so thankful God's raising up young preachers to be able to carry on that mantle of ministry. Amen? And so as we go today, may God's grace just be there in a special way. And I want to say a special greeting to Julie. I'm so thankful you can be here, sweetheart. And we're so proud of you. And I know you're here for Grandma's funeral, but you're one of ours, and you always will be part of the heart of this church. And we love you so very much, and we're very proud of you. And may I say for all of you, I really love you. You're a great church family. And I'm glad that we can grow by the grace of God and share that. So I love you. Hope you can be here tonight for praise and worship. And God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
I think Lisa's good.